Our featured story is about this Brian McGinnis. Now, for those that don't know, Brian McGinnis, this is how he's on our radar. A year ago, after the Israel-Gaza ceasefire went into place in January 2025, Israel began allowing humanitarian aid to come into the Gaza Strip. And there were a lot of rumors that the Israelis were taking this opportunity to shoot and kill disarmed, unarmed, innocent Palestinian civilians that were trying to get the aid. It was like a honeypot. So they would set up the aid in the middle. The Palestinians would run forth and try to get it, and the IDF would shoot them in the back of the head, shoot ordnance at them, and blow them up. These were only rumors. Until Brian McGinnis came back from Israel, where he was supervising this, and gave an eyewitness account and said, that is what I saw. I saw the IDF shoot unarmed people in the back of the head trying to get aid. That's where he comes from. Now he's running for Senate, and he showed up today at a U.S. Senate hearing about the War Powers Resolution as it pertains to Iran, and we'll talk about the resolution, and he began to protest. He got up in the middle of the hearing and said, we don't want to fight for Israel. And then something that I have never seen happened. Capitol Police ran and jumped on this guy, literally knocking people over, seated beside him, out of the way, violently grabbing him, throwing him to the ground, shaking him, literally dragging him out of the hearing. I've never seen anything like that. Have you ever seen a BLM protester get handled that way? When the illegal immigrants, when they protest inside the congressional office building, do they ever get manhandled like that? I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen it in the Capitol. He gets up in his U.S. Marine uniform and says, we don't want to fight for Israel. And they tackled this guy, dragged him out the door. And what happened next was even more disturbing. He's dragged out the door. His hand is caught inside the door hinge. A Republican Senator, Tim Sheehy, leaped out of his chair and smashed the door on his hand, breaking his hand. He's the goodest goy. Goodest goy. I hope Israel sees this. I hope they saw that and they reward you accordingly. Smashed his hand in the door, dragged out of the building as he yells, we don't want to die for Israel. And this is the story. This is from NBC. It says, quote, Senator Tim Sheehy, the Republican from Montana, helped U.S. Capitol Police officers arrest a man protesting the war in Iran at a Senate hearing on Wednesday. Sheehy said on X, quote, Capitol Police were attempting to remove an unhinged protester from the armed services hearing. He was fighting back. I decided to help out and de-escalate the situation. Yeah, you're really macho. You're really brave shutting down that Israel critical protester. What a hero you are. Capitol Police identified the man as Brian McGinnis of North Carolina, who now faces three counts of assault on a police officer, as well as three counts of resisting arrest and crowding, obstructing, and incommoding in the unlawful demonstration. McGinnis is running for the U.S. Senate in North Carolina as a Green Party candidate. He is a Marine veteran. The incident happened during a Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing. Sheehy helped remove McGinnis, who at one point wrapped his hands around the room's door. Yeah, so it was his fault. Sheehy said in his post, this gentleman came to the Capitol looking for a confrontation, and he got one. I hope he gets the help he needs. McGinnis said in a video on Wednesday morning, quote, I'm here in D.C. trying to speak out against the Senate and ask why they're going to send our men and women into harm's way when our elected officials said it would be no world war. Anybody who feels disillusioned and betrayed by our government, you're not alone. Join us in demanding accountability for this betrayal. The Capitol Police statement called McGinnis an unruly man starting an illegal protest during a hearing, putting everyone in a dangerous position by violently resisting and fighting our officers' attempts to remove him from the room. Not what happened at all. By the way, he didn't violently resist. He did resist. He tried to remain in the building, but he wasn't throwing punches or elbows or kicks. He simply tried not to be removed. It was actually Capitol Police that were extremely violent. He's the one with the broken hand. And to me, does this not say it all? This is a U.S. Marine. This is somebody that voluntarily risked his life for our country, wears the uniform, shows up at the Senate, which, by the way, this is the people's house. Strictly speaking, the House of Representatives is the people's chamber. But nevertheless, the U.S. Capitol, that's the people's house. That's the people's body. This is a constitutional government. It represents us. We are in a war right now that nobody voted for. This is a war that was launched illegally by the President of the United States without a declaration of war, without a vote. And not only that, he was elected under the pretense that he would not do this. He was elected under the pretense that there would be no new wars. Certainly there would be no ground war in the Middle East or in Iran, least of all. So not only did he launch the war without any kind of congressional authorization, no authorization of the use of force, no formal declaration of war, he also did it unilaterally in contravention of his own campaign promises when he was elected. So our government has been hijacked. Nobody knows who's making this decision or why. And you have a U.S. Marine, okay, a man in uniform who is there to speak out, exercises First Amendment, and says very plainly, we don't want to fight for Israel. Capitol Police and our own representatives, a Republican senator, tackle him, break his hand, violently rip him out of the chamber. And we all know the real reason. They did it to silence him. They did it because they hate this image. This is a damning image. If you actually watch the entire video, he stands up in the chamber, not menacing, not threatening, stands up in the chamber and says, Americans don't want to fight for Israel. You can't have that video go viral. You can't have that image go viral. That's why they leapt on him. That's why they moved to tackle him. And that's why they tried to so violently remove him. That's why they kicked his ass. He's all of us. Brian McGinnis is all of us. He's better than us. He's a Marine. So he actually served the United States of America in an official capacity, offering up his life in defense of our nation, getting up and saying, we don't want to fight and die for Israel. Yeah, nobody does. He didn't sign up to fight and die for Israel. None of us did. None of those six people that have been killed so far signed up to fight and die for Israel. Nobody voted for us to fight and die for Israel. Nobody wants to fight and die for Israel. And it is a combination of our own security state and our own representatives that are silencing us. What a farce. Executive branch taking us to war, no counsel, no approval from the legislative branch. If an armed service member who is supposed to be fighting the war that no one voted for, if he exercises his civil rights inside the people's house, he gets his ass kicked, he gets his hand broken, he gets violently dragged out. That's the farce that is the government. That guy should be president. That guy should be a U.S. senator. And what is Tim Sheehy doing? You're a Republican representative, you disgusting pig. You disgusting pig. Tim Sheehy, Republican senator from Montana. I don't care what the guy's politics are. That's a guy that's in a uniform. Where's the respect? Think about it. These are the same people that they are asking to go and fight and die in this war. These are the same people that are actually going to do the killing and the dying in Iran, this war that no one voted for, this war that Congress never authorized. You break the man's hand in the doorway. You leap out of your chair like you're some tough guy to go and kick his ass. Really? I think maybe they forgot this is the people's country. Isn't that the whole premise of by and for the people? Don't we have rights? Don't we have civil rights to speak out in our own house, in our own country? And least of all, the people that actually put on the uniform to defend the country and the rights that are supposed to be enshrined in the Constitution? I guess not. The whole thing's a joke. And he came out there to protest this War Powers Resolution. Very interesting. There's a real question as to whether this war in Iran is even legal. And Congress is trying to claw back some of its checks and balances, some of its constitutional authority. There was a War Powers Resolution put forward in the Senate, which if it passed would constrain Trump's ability to expand and continue and escalate the war. The resolution failed, largely along party lines. It was every Republican, with the exception of Rand Paul, that voted for it, or rather voted against it, against constraining Trump's ability to continue the war. And it was every Democrat that voted in favor of it, with the exception of one, John Fetterman. And this is the story from CNN. It says, quote, Republican senators rejected a war powers resolution on Wednesday, requiring the Trump administration to seek congressional approval before continuing military action against Iran. One Republican, Kentucky's Senator Rand Paul, joined the Democrats in voting for the resolution. Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania joined Republicans to vote against it. The Senate Majority Leader John Thune had argued that Trump did have the authority to order strikes on Iran, despite the fact that the military operation was not put to a vote in Congress. And this is arguably one of the most damning aspects of all of this. Just whose decision is it to go to war in Iran? Again, because you have no authorization from Congress. And last time I checked, we do have three co-equal branches of government, and Congress is one of them, and that is the representative body. Trump goes into Iran unilaterally, not only without authorization from Congress, but again, explicitly promising the people who voted for him, that gave him the office, that he wasn't going to do it. So what exactly is the recourse here? You have a candidate that for 10 years has been saying, we are against wars in the Middle East. We're going out of the Middle East. We don't want our troops and bases in the world. We want to protect our own borders, our own country. What happens when that guy wins elected office twice and then does the opposite of what he said he was going to do? And then Congress goes forward and protects his ability to do the opposite of what he said he would do. What exactly is the recourse here? And by the way, all of this is brought to you by the Republican Party. This was a party line vote. Republicans are using their control over the Senate chamber to prevent any oversight or any congressional approval for the war. This is Republicans doing it. And by the way, why do you think that is? Might this have something to do with the fact that AIPAC almost entirely supports the Republican Party? People used to say that's one of the benefits of AIPAC. I've actually heard that argument used in defense of AIPAC. People say, well, AIPAC is giving money to Republican races. As long as they get Republicans elected, hey, well, that's great. Is it? Thomas Massie, when he struck out against AIPAC last summer, he said that every Republican member of the House and Senate has an AIPAC guy, has an AIPAC handler or representative. So might the Republican comeback in 2024, might that have something to do with this? Maybe the reason why Republicans are so back, why the Republicans are in the House and Senate in the first place, why Trump is in the White House, maybe all of this has something to do with that? In other words, the entire Republican Party is literally the representative of the Israel lobby in the U.S. government. Israel has gone out confidently into a war with Iran, knowing, one, that with a Republican administration, they will have backing from the Pentagon. They will have backing from the commander-in-chief. And they also go into Iran confidently because they know there will be no check against the president's power because the Republicans control Congress too. So what happened under Joe Biden? When Israel lashed out under Joe Biden against Hamas and against Hezbollah and in Syria and they provoked Iran, do you know what was happening inside the Democratic administration of Joe Biden? Well, there were hundreds of conscientious objectors who resigned from their jobs inside the Biden White House in protest of its support for the war. You'd never see that in a Republican government. You had memos circulating from inside the National Security Council saying, we will not provide certain weapons and munitions to Israel unless they adhere to guidelines about international law. Once again, you'd never see that in a Republican administration. And Democrats inside the Senate We're trying to use their oversight power to make sure that 2,000-pound bombs were not being sent to Israel to be dropped on innocent, unarmed people in Gaza. Again, Republicans just simply would not do this. And so this is the situation we are in between a rock and a hard place. I'm not trying to say, hey, the Democrats are the greatest thing ever. You get a Democrat in office and they let in 10 million illegal aliens. A Democrat gets into office and they try to forcibly vaccinate everybody. A Democrat gets into office, they do these kinds of things. They prioritize COVID stimulus for non-white people and women as opposed to white men. They do these things. You get a Republican in office, they cut the corporate tax rate and leave everybody else hanging out to dry. They cut Medicaid $800 billion to pay for it. And then they take us to war in Iran and then block the War Powers Resolution because it's based. Because we're cowboys now. And that's just how it is. Yeehaw, we're bombing Iran. Isn't this awesome? No, it's not. But that's what they do. Lindsey Graham says he literally could not be happier with the outcome that we are in a war in Iran. And so people say, well, we got to go out for Republicans. There are people. They are occupied by a hostile force in almost exactly the same way that the Democrats are. It's a conspiracy. It's not just Trump. It's not just his advisors. The rot is in the entire apparatus. Think about who's prosecuting the war. It's Pete Hegseth, our defense, or rather our war secretary. Where does Pete Hegseth comes from? He comes from some Christian Zionist outfit and Fox and Friends, which is run by Rupert Murdoch. He is some pro-Israel fanatic. He believes in the eschatology that they're going to rebuild the temple and then the rapture is going to happen. Okay, that's your secretary of war. Our secretary of state is Marco Rubio. He comes from Florida, a Jewish stronghold. And his biggest benefactors are the Adelson family, Sheldon and then Miriam Adelson. Who is our attorney general? Who runs the Justice Department? Well, Pam Bondi, of course. She was the AG under Ron DeSantis. She said under Biden that the worst thing about the Biden administration, not the 10 million illegals, not the forced vaccinations, she said it's that it's the anti-Israel administration, also from the Jewish stronghold of Florida. Who picked all these people? Susie Wiles, a lobbyist from Florida who rallied all these different components. The national security advisor was Mike Waltz from Florida. He was literally working for Netanyahu. He was our national security advisor creating all the plans for military action. And they caught him using an encrypted messaging app, which he used to communicate with the prime minister of Israel to push Israel's agenda. They wouldn't even fire him. You know what they did? They gave him a different job. Now he's our ambassador to the UN. Our deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, a Jew married to his Jewish wife, talking about their Jewish kids by a rabbi who works with our ambassador to Israel, Friedman. This is your Republican administration. And people say, oh, Susie Wiles, she's the ice queen. Oh, Pete Hegseth, he's a rock-ripped conservative. Oh, Rubio, he's nationalist now. Stephen Miller's a base Jew. No. All of these people are part of this. They're all part of the Republican apparatus. This is like the new George W. Bush. These are the new Vulcans, is what they called them back then. These are the new Vulcans. These are the new neocons. This is a new Colin Powell and Condi Rice and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and George W. Bush. It's the same stuff. And it's literally like the same rhetoric. Freedom fries, and if you don't support the war, you're un-American, you're a third worldist. And it's the same thing in the U.S. Senate. And you have to understand that it is only with Republicans in place that any of this could have happened. Why are there going to be no protests on the college campuses? Because Linda McMahon, our Secretary of Education, under order from Trump, said to Harvard that if you don't make your campus free of anti-Israel criticism, then we're going to ban all foreign students from coming into America. And we're going to cut all your federal grants and loans. And we're going to bankrupt your institution. And you know what every other college and university did? They watched that happen and they responded accordingly. Why are there no protests breaking out on the campuses? Oh, yeah. because our Republican Department of Education created a chilling effect by putting a dagger to the throat of the most preeminent educational institutions and threatened them with destruction if they didn't ban that type of speech. And why don't you see that kind of stuff on social media? Because Larry Ellison now controls TikTok. Larry Ellison, his Oracle, now controls the TikTok algorithm and all of the U.S. user data and owns a 19% stake in the TikTok U.S. entity. That's why. And it goes on and on and on like this. Why will Congress not exercise oversight over this? Because it's controlled by Mike Johnson, an evangelical Christian, came from the same petri dish at the Heritage Foundation as Paul Ryan, and John Thune, who is just as bad as Mitch McConnell. And people are telling you, you have no other option other than to just hold your nose and give these people the majority again. Hold your nose and vote for these people. Hold your nose and vote for them. That's who's doing this. And the guy that is protesting the war is from the Green Party. Guy is a far leftist. The U.S. Marine, the tall, jacked, white male U.S. Marine that has the balls to stand up in the Senate hearing and say, I don't want to die for Israel, that guy's part of the Green Party. And he got his hand broken by some Republican shill from Montana. What does all of this portend? I mean, you have to really think about these things. You have to think about how power works. And I saw somebody on Twitter today. I love the armchair tacticians. I love the armchair generals. You get some of these D-bags on Twitter, these trust the plan types, pro-Trump. It's the most disgusting, whorish thing I've ever seen in my life. I see these accounts on Twitter. They say, what do we get from Israel? Well, Israel knows exactly where the Ayatollah lives, and they have all this intelligence about Iran, and now we're able to bomb them. And they start in their mind creating these scenarios where they are doing a deal on behalf of the United States of America with organized Jewry. What do I mean by that? I see anonymous Twitter users that are not in the government or anything. They're anonymous Twitter users that support Trump. They say on Twitter, hey, I don't care if we give Israel $5 billion a year, as long as we get 40 million deportations, as long as we get anti-immigration. You know, I'll take that deal. This is how people think. This is how goyim think. They say, as long as the Jews promise supporting the Republican Party to deport all these people and we get what we want, hey, I'll support $5 billion a year. And you go, what are you talking about? You're not in charge of anything. What do you mean? I'm sorry, are you a paranoid schizophrenic? Are you hearing voices? Are you delusional? You are a goy. You are some guy on an anonymous Twitter account. You're not making deals on behalf of the United States. Who's listening to this crap? What do I mean by this? The decision makers in the White House, all they care about is Israel. And they have all the decision-making authority. Do you know what the Department of Education is doing right now? Preventing anti-Israel protests. You know what the Secretary of State is doing right now? Scanning social media and revoking visas for people that criticize Israel on Twitter. What is the Secretary of War doing right now? Bombing Iran, thinking about plans to invade Iran. Okay, these are real people in real physical offices using real power that comes out of the end of a gun, whether it's police power or military power, to change the world according to the agenda of Israel. And you are some guy with a job on social media behind a fake profile saying, yeah, okay, I guess I agree to this deal. As long as you promise to deport people, promise who? You? You and what? Your army that'll never vote for anyone else? You and your army of people that have no power? There's no deal here. They are in the driver's seat. They have all the cards. They have all the power. In your imagination, they're finally going to deport people. When? When? When it comes to mass deportations, they say, it's too unpopular. We got to back out of Minneapolis. When it comes to ground troops in Iran, they say, we don't give a shit about approval ratings, whatever we need to do. When it comes to National Guard deployments, we got to think about the Constitution. That might not be legal. When it comes to the war in Iran, hey, who cares, man? You can't be half pregnant. We're in the war. We got to finish it. Damn the Constitution. This is how they exercise the power. At what point are people going to take their own side and put Americans first? So I see this. This is like an image, like others, that will live in infamy. Protesters lighting themselves on fire outside of the Israeli embassy. Israeli foreign nationals at UCLA that are literally not even American, beating the shit out of American protesters with metal pipes and baseball bats at UCLA. A U.S. Marine who saw Israel shoot people in the back of the head getting tossed out of a Senate hearing, they break his arm, and it's a Republican senator doing it, a Republican that's supposed to be patriotic, pro-America, conservative, as the Marine cries out, I don't want to die for Israel. These are vignettes from our occupied nation. Something is not right here. You have to understand that. So that's the drama that unfolded. And like I said, the War Powers Resolution was defeated in the Senate. So there goes that. And now it looks as though surely we are going to enter the conflict on the ground sometime in the future. Trump and Pete Hegseth have intimated that that is not off the table. There are now new reports in Axios and the New York Times that we are training the Kurds and preparing for a Kurdish invasion of Iran from northern Iraq. I imagine that will be supported on the ground and in the air by the United States. And people say, well, what do we do? How can we stop this? People are in different stages of grief, denial, bargaining, anger. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. You voted for them. You gave them what they wanted. Congratulations. You voted for this. You fell for it again. I said it. You are now locked in. You know, Trump's not locked in here with us. We're locked in here with him. Okay? We had our chance to make our voice heard. It was in 2024 during the election. Now you think we're going to complain on Twitter until they stop? Well, what if we had a veteran protest? Ugh. What if we had, here's an idea. What if a Marine in uniform went to the, ugh. I just got shoved out of the hearing room by a senator. Yeah, you know, they have what they want. You gave them what they want. You gave them power. And now they're using the power to do what they said they would do, which is put Israel first. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny arrives all the same. Where did it lead you? Back to me. Back to me. Got what you voted for, huh? Got what I voted for? No, you fell for it again. You gave them what they wanted, and now it's over. It's over. Bitch about it on Twitter. Well, what if the personnel, ha, don't make me laugh, okay? Well, what if we got people in uniform and we marched on Washington, and then what, they ignore you? We did that. It was called the Million MAGA March. We did that. It was called January 6th, and they just killed a bitch. She's not a bitch, but they just killed a woman, okay? That's all that happened is they crushed it. They arrested everybody. What do you mean, okay? You have one vote as a citizen. That was the opportunity. And now they are in there, and you should feel helpless. You should feel vulnerable. You should feel raped. You should feel taken advantage of. Degraded, you should feel bad right now. And I want you to take that feeling and don't get violent. Don't get emotional. Get even. You made that mistake in 24. You either voted for the Republicans. Maybe you made the mistake like I did of just not voting. No, now we need to make it hurt. I'm voting against the party that beats up Marines that don't want to die for Israel. I'm voting against the party that doesn't want a constitutional check on war power I'm voting for the party that didn't bring us to war in Iran by fanatical evangelicals. Did you see they sent out that memorandum to all of the soldiers in CENTCOM that said, we're doing this so Israel could rebuild the Third Temple? Yeah, I'm good. I don't support that at all, actually. Sickening. Just actually gut-wrenching and sickening scenes coming out of our capital. And you have only yourselves to blame. I warned you. I tried to tell you. I predicted it with precision. You didn't listen to me. You thought you knew better. I knew people that were friends of mine. I've said this before. They went to my birthday party and they said, he's being disloyal to Trump. He's being disloyal to Trump. Fucking nerd. You thought you knew better than me? Idiot. Yeah, you're damn right. Trump is disloyal to America.